Some of Psalm 119 set to music that talks about God's law. Now let's turn in God's law and his word to Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. It's one verse, the fifth commandment. Now, when we study the commandments, and as you'll see this morning in the fifth commandment, obviously we look to other scriptures to help us interpret the fifth commandment. So we'll be looking to other scriptures this morning too. And one other brief note, the Ten Commandments people usually divide into two tables. Maybe you've heard that before, right? The first table of the law, the first four commandments have to do with our relationship to God. And then the last table of the law have to do with our relationship to others. And so we're starting the last table of the law, our relationship to parents and those in authority over us. So God's holy word, one verse, Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God's word. Honor your father and your mother. Back in 1997, Apple computers weren't selling very good, and they were trying to gain some recognition, right? Trying to get more sales. And so one of the advertisement campaigns that they ran, maybe some of you even remember this, it was called Think Differently. Okay, and one of the ads in this campaign of Think Differently was the logo of Apple, you know, an apple with a bite taken out of it. And there was like this little poem or little statements inside of it, and it said things like this. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers. They're not fond of rules and have no respect for the status quo. We see them as geniuses, world changers. Right? And so that ad campaign that Apple was marketing back then, they were trying to sell computers by appealing to people's rebellious side. Right? To that rebellion against authority, to the side of people that didn't want to listen to authority. That's how they were trying to sell computers. Now, it kind of reminds me of a teen magazine cover that I read about once. On the cover of this teen magazine, it said, "Do you really hate your parents? Like, who doesn't?" And then inside of the magazine, it said, it gave advice on how to deal with your detestables, meaning your parents. Wow. I didn't make that up, by the way. That's what I read. Now, it's common, I think, in the U.S. to see these kind of things, isn't it? I mean, I just gave two examples from popular culture on the rebellion against authority. Right? That's not uncommon. None of us are shocked that those things are said in the United States. And sometimes it's even funny and cool on TV or in magazines to, you know, dishonor and disregard and make fun of your parents. It even sells TV shows and movies. Now, the problem with this is, obviously, it's against God's law, but it also filters into our own lives as Christians, doesn't it? Right? We're not immune to popular culture and to the culture out there, so sometimes we see this so much, and it filters even into our own Christian life. By the way, there are still cultures in the world who actually, the cultures, by and large, actually honor authority. I was reading a story of a man from the East. He grew up in Pakistan, and in that culture, they really still honor their parents. They never want to bring shame on their parents, ever. Now, it's different in the United States. And so, as we think about this, submitting to authority and honoring authority, this is the fifth commandment, isn't it? It has everything to do with the Christian life, honoring our parents and authority figures. And so, today in our sermon, what I'm going to do is just go through the verse, the 16th verse of Deuteronomy 5. Okay, I'm just going to kind of take it in order, and I'll do some application on the way. So that's what we'll look at this morning. And by the way, you know, parents are probably sitting out there thinking, I hope he lays it on thick. And the kids probably aren't looking forward to this kind of a sermon. And people who, those of you who don't have kids in the house are thinking, well, this isn't very relevant to me. Now, maybe all of you will be in for a surprise then. I'm not going to do a lot of those things that you might think I do today. Let's look at this word in God's, or this verse in God's word now. Okay, so fifth commandment stuff. In verse 16, look at the first word. What is it? It's honor. What does that word mean? If you have an Oxford dictionary, it says great respect or esteem. Right? You regard someone or something with sincere respect. You honor something. Actually, when I was looking at this word honor, I thought of, you know, the military statement, right? Duty, honor, and country. Remember MacArthur's speech at West Point, and MacArthur said this in the 50s or 60s. These three words dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, and what you will be. the very obsession of your public service must be duty, honor, and country. It's a military term. And actually, some historians even say, and sociologists say, that a country needs honor built in it, the ethos of a country, to actually survive. It's probably one reason why England has survived for such a long time, is because built into their culture was this respect for authority, for, you know, the dukes and the earls, you know, yes, my lord, that kind of honor. But in the Bible, honor is used in the Christian sense of the term. Now, that word honor there in the 16th verse, the Hebrew is kavod, which means glory or weightiness. It's actually the same word that's used to glorify or honor God. But here, honor means respect and obey, doesn't it? I know we don't use this term all the time, but it's not too tough to define. Even kids know what honor means. Respect and obey. That's what honor means here, just simply put. So, for example, if you honor your parents, you don't make fun of them. You don't ignore them, you don't yell at them, you don't shame them. But you respect them and obey them. Now, if you did a survey in the Bible of this theme of respecting and honoring parents, you'd see, like in Exodus 21 in the Old Testament, it says, do not curse your father or mother. And in the Old Testament, there's examples where a son or a daughter or, you know, a child cursed their parents, and that child was put to death. Now, thankfully, we don't live in Old Testament times anymore, under that old covenant of Moses, but it shows us that back then, dishonoring your parents was a very serious sin. If you dishonored your parents, you were dishonoring God, because that's the way that God made authority. That's what the Bible teaches. In fact, in the New Testament, Paul says in 2 Timothy, in the last days, people will be, and then there's a list, and you know what one of them in the list is? Dishonorable to their parents, or disobedient to their parents. Or remember Romans 1, what we read this morning. One of the lists of heinous sins is dishonoring parents. Now, positively speaking, though, this is a good thing for children to honor their parents. Paul says this in the New Covenant. Ephesians says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you honor your parents, you honor God. Because that's the way that God has built, made authority. And this commandment, when we talk about honoring parents, it shows us the relational side or the relationship side of Christianity. Now, obviously, at the heart of Christianity is God's relationship to us and our relationship to the Lord. But that extends into the family unit and to friends, right? And so here we have honor your father and your mother. There's relational side of things. Now, by the way, before we move on to the next phrase, honor in the Bible even extends beyond childhood. Okay, so kids, it's not like once you get 18, then you can forget about the fifth commandment, right? Well, I'm 18 and a half years old, I don't have to honor my parents anymore. That's not what it is. You can read in the Bible, for example, of how Joseph provided for Jacob when he was older. He was still honoring him when he was older. Or think about Jesus. Remember when he was dying on the cross, or before he died, he told one of his apostles to take care of his mother when he was 30 or 33. There's still honor even at an older age. And this does, by the way, have to do with taking care of our parents when they get older. Actually, Paul even mentions this in 1 Timothy 5. He says, repay your parents by taking care of them, for this pleases God. Now, In Washington, when I was a pastor there, when I first came there, there was some people that were loosely associated with the church that were in nursing homes, and some people told me that they, you know, could use a pastoral visit. So, of course, I visited these people, and I learned that some of these older people in nursing homes had kids who were an hour or two away, and they never saw them. And I thought, what a tragedy of, you know, dishonoring parents when they're old, leaving them alone in a nursing home. That's a shame and probably even a sin. Now, one other thing, this, by the way, forget the jokes for now, but this even extends to in-laws, right? Ruth and Naomi, does that make sense? Actually, in Micah 7, if you wonder how this commandment has to do with in-laws, read Micah 7. There in Israel, in Micah's day, there was so much evil, and there's a list, and one of the evil things that was happening in Israel in Micah 7 is daughter-in-law was against mother-in-law. And that's a bad thing. So, honoring parents even has to do with in-laws. Okay, well, that's a little bit on honoring parents and into adulthood and even in-laws. Well, what about that next phrase? your father and your mother. What can we say about that? I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Well, we have to think about the structure and the foundation here. Right? Even before the fall, this was the family unit, right? Adam, Eve were supposed to have children even before the fall. That was the foundational unit of relationship in creation before the fall. And that's why a lot of people today, by the way, call the family the foundation or the bedrock of society. That's where relationships start. Typically, the weaker the family units in a society, the weaker the society is, right? And so that's why Philip Ryken, one of the commentators, said, the fifth commandment is God's plan for preserving the family. Honor your father and your mother. Now, I'm not going to go off on a long side note here, but notice that the fifth commandment assumes that marriage is between man and woman, right? Dad and mom, who have children. And this is the language the Bible even uses for the Christian life, right? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. God is our heavenly Father. This is a biblical way to speak. And so we think about this in the home. Honor your father and your mother. If these relationships are messed up, other relationships are going to be messed up too. If you don't honor your father and your mother when you get older, or even at that time, you're not going to know how to honor anybody else in authority over you. Right? This is a thing that flows out into life. If a kid can't honor his dad or mom, he probably can't honor his teachers or his boss when he gets older, or the police or the government. And it's bad for everybody if there's no honor. And again, even when we get older, remember, it doesn't put us off the hook when we get older, my age or older. Right? If a 30-year-old doesn't know how to honor his parents or in-laws, how is that person's kid going to learn how to honor that person? Right? That's the structure of honoring father and mother. Now, another thing to think about this phrase, father and mother, notice that God gives authority to both parents. When there's both parents in the home, father and mother, the dad, of course, is the head, but the mother has authority too. God gives her authority. Proverbs 6, my son, keep your father's commands and don't forsake your mother's teaching. Now, I know that a lot of this stuff is maybe basic to you, and probably a lot of you have heard this before, and you know, this is maybe preaching to the choir to some extent, but this is definitely worth a reminder in our culture, isn't it? I know sometimes we take these things for granted, and we kind of forget about them and put them on the back shelf, but this is very important, especially in our culture, and especially for our kids to see the biblical family. Father, mother, children, and honor. That's the fabric of the faith. I mean, part of the fabric of the faith. And that's important because you know this too, that everywhere we turn, it seems like that biblical idea of the family is attacked, isn't it? Whether it's in politics and the gay agenda, or the horrible abortion stuff that we've been hearing, the massacres there, or magazine ads, or the library books about two daddies, or Hollywood trying to twist the truth of the biblical family. This is one of those essential, it's a commandment. This is one of those things that we need to be well versed in and that we need to uphold as God's people in this culture. Now let's do some more application here. Okay, honor your father and your mother. Notice that there's not a conditional word in here. What I mean by that is not honor your father and your mother if. I mean, it's not here in my ESV. There's no condition. What I mean by this is, it doesn't say honor your parents if they're decent. But if they make a sin or a mistake, then you don't have to honor them anymore. It's not what the Bible teaches. I know that's what we want it to be, right? Wouldn't it be great if it was conditional? Oh, mom and dad, you know, they messed up, they did something horrible and sinful, and now I don't have to ever honor them anymore. And sometimes that's the way it goes in the world. I was reading a little story about a World War II general who, early in World War II, he went to England. He was a command of the bomber unit. And he went to this English city, and the mayor of that English city gave him and his unit a huge party for a welcome. And the mayor of this English city was just heaping laud and praise on this general and the unit that was there, and saying how great this is that they're here to help us fight the war against the Nazis. And when that general's turn was to speak, he didn't know exactly what to say. He didn't like all that praise. And he said this, until we've done some fighting, I'm not going to do any talking. When we're gone, I hope that you'll be glad we came. Now, what he meant by that is, don't honor me and don't honor our unit until we've earned it. But it's not like that exactly when it comes to the fifth commandment, is it? Honor your father and your mother. It's not conditional. We honor our parents first and foremost because God said this is the authority. Just like we're called to love others without condition, so we're called to honor our parents. And remember that love covers a multitude of sins. Remember that for kids and their parents. Now, whether you're young, kid, or older, I know that this is not always easy. Right? This is very difficult sometimes to honor our parents. Right? And we have to remember then that we aren't perfect. And we shouldn't expect our parents to be perfect. Nobody is perfect. We might remember except for Jesus was perfect. So sometimes we have to overlook some of the flaws of our parents. And of course we should forgive our parents and love our parents and pray for them and so forth. But still remember this commandment, honor your father, your mother, honor those in authority over you, even your in-laws. I love how our confessions, the Heidelberg Catechism and the Westminster Catechism say the same thing. They say things like this. The fifth commandment, God's will for us in the fifth commandment is to be patient with your parents' failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. It's a good way to put it. Or the Westminster says, bearing with their infirmities and covering them in love. So one story to think about here. Remember when Noah got really drunk and he was like passed out? Do you remember what Shem and Japheth did? They showed him honor by covering him. That was a way of, you know, not despising him or shaming him, but they covered him because he was naked. And later in the same story, it says they were blessed. There's an example of children, older children, honoring their parent who had grievously sinned. That's what honor is. Now, again, I don't have time to go into big details here, and I know that it's very different and very even more difficult if your parents are or were abusive physically. There is some wisdom there, and honoring your parent doesn't mean you always have to be by them and put you or your children in danger physically. Okay, that's something else you have to wrestle with. But there still is honor to some extent. Now, usually when we talk about the fifth commandment, as is pretty evident, we think about kids, right? And I'll mention the kids again pretty soon, but for parents there's application, isn't there? Well, the fifth commandment means, honor your father and your mother. If you're a father or mother, that means God has given you authority in the home. Right? That's pretty clear. And Paul even says this in the New Testament. It's covenantal. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And mothers, you can think in the Old Testament of Proverbs 31, right? That wise woman who provided for her household, who was kind and loving, and her children called her blessed. Father and mother have authority in the home. Now, once again, this is where the fifth commandment clashes with our culture, right? I don't know if you pay attention, but a lot of parents today treat their kids like princes or princesses, like royalty. And the parents are the kids' servants. Did you see that before? And that's kind of twisting the way it should be. I was reading a book on this, and one woman who was an educator said, this is the era of the weak parent. And she went on to explain how kids typically run the show and make big decisions and get away with murder in the family because parents aren't using the authority that God gave them. There's a Bible story to think of here. Eli and his sons, do you remember that? You can read about this in 1 Samuel in the opening books, the opening chapters. Eli honored his sons more than God. And that was a great sin of Eli's. And Eli let his sons get away with murder, even desecrating sacrifices, because he didn't use his authority that God gave him. And so the Bible teaches that children do not have authority in the home. I know, that's basic. But it's something we've got to remember. Especially parents, right? Our kids are not royalty, and I think my parents said this, it's not a democracy, is it? Maybe you said that to your parents. Right? Parents have God-given authority. And I love the title of a book that I read. I haven't read the book, but I saw a title. No, N-O. Why Kids of All Ages Need to Hear It and Ways Parents Can Say It. No. And so when we're authority in the home, that means we don't have to buy our kids tons of stuff and spoil them. Right? We can say no, and we should say no. And so we as parents just need this reminder. Sometimes we need this reminder to step up and be authoritative in a loving way. But remember, when our kids do something wrong, if they break the law, if they sin, we should punish them. Right? And that includes, you know, taking away the screen for 1 day or 7 days, maybe. If they disobey, don't let them go to the game or the party. Your kids have a lot of privileges that you have the authority to give and to take away if they disobey. Just remember that. God has given you authority in the home. Don't spare the rod, Proverbs teaches us. And kids, this means, you know, when you do the crime, you do the time. Right? If you disobey in the home, remember that God has given your parents the authority to discipline you so that you don't keep committing the same sins. It's for your good. And you know, one more thing to think about authority here is too, sometimes we as parents, when we have a rule and when we give a discipline or when we make a decision, we don't always have to explain ourselves. We may, but our word is what goes in the home as long as it's biblical. So kids shouldn't argue with us. That's dishonoring parents. So remember, this is the way it's supposed to be. Parents have authority in the home. And parents, then one more thing for you. We should try to be honorable. Right? We should, in other words, make it easy for our kids to honor us by being firm but loving, by being, you know, serious but also tender and kind. We know we're not going to be perfect, but we should be loving and peaceful and think of the fruits of the Spirit, right? We should encourage our kids and be there for our kids and tell them about the gospel. Forgive them when they sin and they'll forgive us when we sin and pray for them and so forth. It's a big responsibility to have authority, and we want to, by God's grace, seek to be honorable. All right, just a couple more things here. Not many, two more things. Another thing in the fifth commandment, now as we move through the verses again, it says, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Paul in Ephesians comments on the fifth commandment. And he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Remember that? So here's a commandment. Children, obey your parents, that your days may be long. There's a promise, Paul says. And that it may go well with you in the land that God has given you. Now, of course, you know the context of the Ten Commandments. Remember, Moses gave the commandments to his people, to God's people, as they were going into the promised land. So back then, in that context, it means, children, if you obey your parents in Israel, you know, it's going to go well in the land, and things will go well. Right? That's the context. Now, of course, like I said earlier, we're not under the Sinai laws exactly like the people were back then, since Jesus came and fulfilled the laws, and now since we're in the new covenant, and he died and saved us and gives us the new covenant truth. But there's still a general truth here, isn't there? It's kind of like a proverb for us today, a true proverb. When we obey our parents, things go better than if we didn't. Right? Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. If we walk in the way of the Lord, there's blessing in that. Same for honoring our parents. And this just makes sense in normal life, right? If you're on a team, basketball, football, baseball, and you obey your coach and show him respect, typically it will go well for you between you and the coach and the team, right? If everyone on the team honors the coach, it will go well, typically. Or in the workplace, right? If you respect your boss and honor your boss, typically it will go well for you. It will be better than if you didn't honor and respect him. And so it's the same in the home, kids. Honor your parents, love your parents, and obey your parents, and your home will be a better place. And like Paul says in the New Testament, this pleases God. I know kids sometimes, you know, when you're younger, there's so many things on your mind. You're thinking about so many things. And one of those things you have to think about is, how can I please God? Of course, you please God by believing in Jesus and following Jesus. But you can also please God by obeying and honoring your parents, even at a young age. All right, there's one more application here. Now, if you don't have kids in the home, obviously there was already some application because you have authority figures over you and you probably have older parents, some of you. But this is even broader, right? When we talk about the fifth commandment, it doesn't just stop with our parents, but the Bible teaches that we should honor everybody in authority over us. Right? That's common. You've heard that before too, right? And one story in the Bible that sticks out is when David honored King Saul. Remember, King Saul was not a good king. He was even trying to kill David. And do you remember that one time when David had the chance to kill King Saul? Did he do it? No, he didn't. He said, "I can't lay my hand on God's anointed," right? He honored the authority of the king and the office of the king. And so the New Testament teaches that too. In 1 Peter 2, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, emperor or governors, for this is God's will." You know the other text that teaches something like that? Romans 13. "Let every person be subject to governing authorities." And then it says, "Because God has instituted authorities in the world." And so the fifth commandment has to do with our parents in the home, but it's broader. It has to do with all authorities. And I know it's a difficult day to honor government and government authorities, isn't it? In some countries, and sometimes it's easier than others to honor those governmental authorities. And so when we say we have to honor, you know, the government or the state, it doesn't mean we have to agree with everything they do. It doesn't mean we blindly follow everything they say. And it doesn't mean we can never be critical. And certainly it doesn't mean that we obey them rather than God. Remember early in Acts? No, we obey God above humans and man. But the fifth commandment does mean that we shouldn't make fun of or hate or wish evil upon authority figures that we don't like. Right? This is maybe a kind of a silly example, but let's just say the president or the vice president came here to talk to us or just to say hi or whatever. Even if we disagreed with some of his policies, we would still show him honor, right? We're not going to make fun of him or call him names. We would still be kind to him and even pray for him. That's why we pray for those in authority over us, even if we sometimes disagree. Now, finally then, one more quickly thing here. Hebrews 13 talks about Christians obeying elders, leaders that God has put in the church. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." Okay, this is maybe a whole other section, and I'm not going to go into this deeply. But remember that Jesus has given you elders and leaders, authority figures in the church, to watch over your souls. And the Bible says obey them and submit to them, because God has put them there as authority. So as Christians then, fifth commandment is for all of us, isn't it? Whether you're young or old, kids in the home or not. And we obey all authority. Right? Even if people in our culture think it's funny and cool to disrespect others, we as Christians say, no, God's will for us is that we submit and honor authority. And in Scripture, there's a lot more examples of how children honor their parents. Remember young Isaac and Abraham? He went up to the hill obediently. Or Joseph and Jacob, like I mentioned, or Timothy, who listened to his mom and grandmother teach the Scriptures. There seems to be some honor there. And you know the best example in the Bible of obeying the fifth commandment? It's Jesus, isn't it? He perfectly obeyed the fifth commandment. All of them, of course, but we're talking about the fifth commandment. Think about that one for a while. Jesus honored his parents perfectly without sin. Jesus honored everyone in authority over him without sin. And so there we have an example of what it means to obey the fifth commandment. Imitate Christ, right? He was a living commentary on the fifth commandment. Think of his life. But he's more than an example, isn't he? He's a savior. And because Jesus obeyed the fifth commandment and all of the commandments, when we trust in him, his righteousness is credited to us and our sins are forgiven. Even our sins against the fifth commandment. And so do you see how this works in the Christian life? We know that we should honor our parents and those in authority over us, but at the same time, we know that we sin. And so when we turn to Jesus, he forgives us and he gives us a new heart and a motivation to obey the fifth commandment out of gratitude. It's based on what Jesus has done. We want to be like him, yes. And we depend on him for salvation, forgiveness, and the strength to obey. So our lives can be a living commentary on the fifth commandment. So we as Christians seek to please God our Savior by honoring authorities that he's put in place. Let's pray.